Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Intermission.
I'm supposed to say something here, aren't I?
I'm sorry. We're doing
I'm just blank this time.
That's okay. Guys, before we begin, let's have a little bit of a public service announcement. Let's have a real heart-to-heart between just us and you for all of our aspiring modders and developers out there. We have a very big community, and like all very big communities, we have a lot of people that make a lot of really cool things for people to use. For a lot of people, they don't really have the abilities to make weapons like, say, Arians does, so using them is alright. It's perfectly fine. But whenever you nick something to use from someone else, open up a text file, and in this text file, add a line saying what the resource is and who made it. Whenever you nick another resource from someone else, add another line. This only takes 5 seconds to do. You lose nothing from doing it, and in the long run, it will save you a lot of headaches. Crediting people is good, and we won't look down on you for a mod that isn't 100% original content. Don't claim you did work that isn't yours, folks. Otherwise, you're a fucking liar, and you're going to go straight to hell. The shitty hell, where everything is covered in shit and on fire, and even the fire is covered in shit and also on fire. And nobody wants that.
So, yeah, please, credit your content unless you want to be branded as an asshole. Asshole.
Oh, but that out of the way, hi, hope everyone is doing perfectly well.
Yeah.
Well, with that out of the way, let's dive straight in. This time we've got Kinsey, as always.
Sadly.
We have Keegan with us again, making a return appearance.
Hello.
And for the first time with us, we have one of the developers of the Eternity Engine, Alt Azimuth.
What the heck's the Eternity Engine?
That's what I want to know.
Well.
He's going to be right at home in our Zdoom-centric podcast where we talk about Zdoom modding and Zdoom maps and other Zdoom gameplay mods. But thankfully, he's decided to come along anyway. I don't know why.
There was someone else who was supposed to come along as well, but we just checked, and apparently he's busy playing League of Legends, so...
Ha ha!
He's dead to us.
He's completely struck off the will.
Mm-hmm.
Off the Christmas card list.
But, as always, it's been a really eventful bye week in the community. And we've got a little bit of an interesting novelty outside of the community as well. There has been a recently announced retro-inspired indie FPS called Shoot Rage. It is already up on Steam Greenlight, and only for mature audiences, and boasts blood, explosive barrels, sprites, and...
really bad voice acting.
Really bad everything, really. It, well, y'all have seen the trailer. What do you think it looks?
You know that rule of if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all? Yeah, fuck that rule. It doesn't look very good.
I'll say this much. I'm glad that it's being made, because we've seen lots of revivals of Quake 3 Arena and Unreal Tournament 2K4 style shooters, but we haven't really seen like any big 2.5D proper Doom style shooters. So if this actually turns out to be decent and gets good exposure, power to the developer.
A pretty big if, but it seems like from the sounds of a post that the developer made on a forum shortly after it was announced, they're aware of the issues. They just sort of announced it very early because the Steam Greenlight is getting replaced with a new system that will cost money at some point, so they wanted to try and get in before the door closed.
Okay.
And I don't think that's a good idea particularly because... well, you only get one chance to make a good first impression. And they've used that, and the result, since they weren't quite ready, is a pretty big...
And, you know, to give credit where credit's due, though, it does look better than the other games that are like claiming they're, you know, inspired by Doom, but instead they look like really shitty Wolfenstein clones. So, you know, for that much at least.
Yeah, a lot of those look like they're based off that Game Maker tutorial for Wolfenstein Style 3D. Sort of like, have you played a game called 8-Bit Killer? It's a freeware first-person shooter by a guy called Loco Molito, who is an absolutely fantastic indie developer. And it's basically Wolfenstein style, but with NES-style sprites and music.
Isn't that the guy that made the that sick-ass Ghosts and Goblins clone?
Yeah, 8-Bit Killer was his first game.
Really? That's cool.
And, like, a lot of those sort of Wolfenstein clone-y things are very similar to that, except not very good.
What it reminds me of, honestly, is a game that's kind of really fallen out, and I kind of miss it. Retro Blazer.
I remember that.
Yeah,
it was... Very Wolfenstein in the Quake engine.
Mm-hmm. It was a 3D Wolfenstein-esque gameplay made in dark places, and with very bright colors, lots of pink, lots of cyan. The sprites were really, really cool. The sound design was cool. The music was cool. Played like arse, and all the enemies were furries for some reason. Well, furry robots.
Yeah, I remember they put that on Kickstarter at some point and didn't get anywhere close to their goal. And they're like, it's okay, we'll keep working on it, guys. And then they completely vanished off the internet.
Yeah.
RIP.
I'm not sure what happened. Hopefully they're still doing all right. I'd still want to play it. The original alpha they released, it was flawed, but the core gameplay was still really fun.
There was promise there.
Isn't that the one that had, like, the Mega Man Zero sound effects?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mega Man Zero makes... Actually, the Mega Man series as a whole, they make real heavy use of stock sound effects, so...
I think this one was actually, like, actual credited Mega Man Zero sound rips as placeholders.
Really?
Yeah, it sounded like, dead on, it was the Z-Buster.
Mm. That's pretty interesting.
It is interesting. Speaking of another game that's recently being announced that shares a very similar level of graphical quality, Chex Quest is not a game that really comes to mind when people think of the old classic retro FPSs, and yet it still persists in quite a few ways. It got two sequels, the third with heavy fan involvement, and the creator, Charles Jacoby, has still kept in contact with the Chex Quest fan community. And boy, just saying the words Chex Quest fan community feels really weird. But with their help, he is now working on a reboot called Chex Quest HD. A teaser trailer recently came out, and...
It looks bad, but good. I don't know.
It looks charming.
It's booed. Or gad. I want to play it. I really want to play it.
It reminds me a lot of, like, FMV from the PS1 era.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It's like, it looks shit, but it looks shit in a good way. And that's really strange.
It has a strong style going for it, and it looks like a lot of effort's been put in. Like, the models are really quite nice.
The animation seems good.
Yeah. I'm personally looking forward to it.
Ditto.
You know,
should be fun.
Free first-person shooter.
I can't wait. Oh boy, I can't wait to zorch some phlemloids.
The thing that does make me a little bit sad, though, is that it is explicitly only the first Chex Quest game, rather the entire trilogy. And for me, the real strength of Chex Quest was Chex Quest 3, because Chex Quest 3 had the most interesting encounters, the most interesting level design. It was not a corporate commission, and it showed. It was entirely a work of passion and fun. Whereas Chex Quest 1, the levels...
They're babby-fied.
Yeah. They're not exactly as iconic as, say, Doom Episode 1's.
But on the other hand, this is... I believe, a very small team, so it makes sense that they'd limit their the amount of work they have to do with that sort of stuff. Because this is, I think it's Unreal Engine 4, and that is very artist intense in creating environments.
Mm, yeah.
You're not just drawing lines or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Not like in Doom Builder. Speaking of which, another bit of Doom news that has popped up. Last time we talked about the death of GZ Doom GPL in order to make way for GZ Doom itself going GPL, which had several hurdles kind of bumping it along the way. They ended up not actually being that big a hurdle. GZ Doom is officially GPL, and the next release will be fully GPLized. That was faster than expected.
Yeah, it should be around May 1st they're aiming for.
Yeah, I mean, there's still the issue of the resources, like the dog, that are from, you know, games that cost money. But that appears to be working on, they're working on that too.
Yeah, Graf announced his solution to that. The non-free assets are going to be in a separate PK3 file, so you can just delete that if you're doing a fully free project.
It hasn't been without some sacrifices, though. There have had to be some things cut from the engine in order to make way for it, and we will sadly mourn their loss. And for those of you that used module formats in order to make use of sounds in your mods, you're going to have to change things. I'm sorry. This affects maybe two of you, at most.
I know, that's probably more than reality.
Actually, I didn't even know that you could use module tracker formats for sound effects.
Well, you're not supposed to, but apparently Fmod supported that on some platforms.
Yeah. This just seems like a complete waste.
I mean, you already have the samples, so...
I thought it did result in a bit of comedy when someone who shall remain nameless misread the message about that as all modules won't work anymore for music or whatever, and sent a bunch of private messages out warning people.
And it's really strange because, yeah, you look at that and modules aren't going to be working. The first thing that doesn't come to mind is module sounds. Because, again...
Until you read the actual message.
Yeah, because, again, who would do that?
And I forget, were MIDI sound effects allowed? I think that was a thing. That's not a thing anymore.
I think it was a thing in the original Doom DMX sound engine. I'm not sure if it was in Z-Doom or whatever.
My favorite MIDI sound effect is Gunshot. Which is great.
Oh, the ladies love Orchestra Hit 54.
One of the cooler things along the way to do Z-Doom getting its GPL was the fact that Ken Silverman himself decided that it was okay to use the software voxel rendering code.
Yeah, I think a couple of functions from build were relicensed just for GZ-Doom, which is nice. Saves a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm. Especially for any other future attempts to make any more attempts at redoing voxel stuff.
Mm.
That's a series of hurdles on its own, though, because voxels are not pretty.
Well, they can be. It's just, God help you if you try to, like, make a face.
Speaking of retro first-person shooters that used voxels, and really, really stretching segues...
You guys like blood, right? Y'all excited for a source port? There's a Russian fellow, Accelerator M2010, who is making his own take on it called GDX Blood, a source port / recreation for blood.
In Java.
In Java, of all things.
Ah!
I mean... At least it'll be easy to get cross-platform?
Question
I don't know. Java.
The Minecraft runtime. But yeah, looking at the videos he's posted and that, the port is pretty much almost done. all he has to do by his estimate is add the sound engine and fix a few bugs. And that'll be great because Java or no, it'll at least be a way to get the Blood game out of DOSBox so we can play around with better resolutions, new modding effects, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's always nice to see old DOS games actually runnable native on modern operating systems.
Yeah, there is perhaps a bit of a possible hurdle in that this is just some guy doing a thing. Atari isn't involved, the guy doesn't have the rights to Blood. The question is if Atari will try to squash the fun, and what will that mean for other attempts to take it up? And honestly, I'm not sure a whole lot will happen because, as we mentioned, this guy is in Russia, and that seems to complicate things somewhat with that sort of thing.
At the very least, it means he'll get it out quickly.
Hmm.
Because he's Russian.
Fuck off!
God damn it, Tom.
Fuck off.
If anyone was wondering why Cold War 2 started, it was right here.
Oh, and moving hastily on, we've also got another thing that's rushing to come out. Blade of Agony Episode 2, coming out on May 20th.
So, I have said words about Episode 2 in the past. They were not kind words, and I haven't played the new version since. But it's very interesting to see that a lot of the promotional stuff that Torm has been releasing in anticipation for this release has not been talking about the gameplay. It's like, oh, look at all these visuals, look at all these... all the sectors we have here, look at all the high-res sprites we've done. And it's like, I played the first episode of this when it was work in progress, although it seemed pretty done at the time. It did not play well. It was a very, very weirdly shoehorned attempt at stealth in the Doom engine, and it played about as well as that sounded. It's also resulted in some... weird wording from Torm, in that in his emphasizing of the graphics and that, it. I mean, I know that English is not his first language and that, but it sort of leads to some weird wording when he's talking about how beautiful this Nazi prison is. But, you know, we live in an enlightened era. Who am I to get in the way of a man and his Auschwitz?
Mein Leben!
I think my absolute favorite incident so far is when he just posted a big picture of a swastika and said, "Something great is coming."
Oh, yeah. That was unfortunate. Yeah.
It's
also, the swastika was the wrong way around. Tom.
I'm quite surprised that episode 2 is coming so soon.
Well, they've been working on it alongside episode 1.
Okay.
Like, when I downloaded a work in progress build off of their GitHub before the release of episode 1, episode 2 was already there in an unfinished form. Although the first level seemed pretty complete, and that's what I focused a lot of my criticism on, because, oh boy, that thing stunk up the room.
It was shit. It was shit.
I'm just wondering if they're going to use the opportunity to refine the gameplay a bit.
I hope so. I sincerely hope so, but it really feels like they're aiming for a lot of that mid-2000s Medal of Honor stuff. That sort of feel of those Quake 3 engine World War II shooters. And a lot of that stuff has not aged very well at all. Like the Sniper Alley stuff.
How many people here present actually care that much about sniping sections in games and stealth sections in games?
Metal Gear was cool.
If I want to have a stealth section in a game, I'd rather just play a stealth game entirely. It's hard enough to do stealth right in a fully dedicated game, let alone as a single segment of a larger game.
Yeah, and in a lot of the games that Blade of Agony is taking inspiration from, like the Medal of Honors, Return to Wolfenstein and that, a lot of that stuff had a lot of instant failure situations where when an alarm was sounded. I don't know if those will be in Blade of Agony, but from what I played, it seemed like getting the alarm sounded was pretty much a death sentence, since for a lot of the level, you either had no weapon or no health.
Brought up Metal Gear earlier, and I entirely understand with and agree with that, but let's be entirely honest. What are some of the most notable parts of Metal Gear? The part where you're sneaking around the guard, or the part where you're power bombing the senator of the US into a Metal Gear?
I think it's the part where you spend 15 minutes watching a cutscene.
That's the most common part.
Kaz, I'm already an FMV.
Speaking of eccentric Germans and their wild flights of fancy, Graf Zoll...
Man, we're going some really fucked up segues this time around.
Graf Zoll himself is experimenting with a new project, a UMAP info standard for all boom-based ports.
For people who don't know what this sort of means, at little people at home... map info is a thing in Zedum and Eternity that allows mappers to sort of specify the map flow. So, like, what level you go to when you press the exit switch or the secret exit switch, and what music is playing, that sort of stuff. PR Boom does not have that. It sticks to the traditional vanilla gameplay flow where there's 32 levels and one of them is accessed through map 15. And UMAP info is an attempt to sort of do a lightweight version of map info that can be applied to all boom-based ports in the future. So people mapping for boom can still use that more vanilla-like mapping standard that works on most ports without having to stick to the boom map flow.
It's an interesting idea. I can give it that. A lot of it flies completely over my head, but, well, frankly, a lot of what Graf does flies completely over my head. But doing this sort of cross-port compatibility project on any level is really noticeable. Because if there's one thing that the Doom community is always going to be fighting on, it's what source port should I use for this project, either in making it or in playing it.
Yeah, and it's really... Like, Boom has always, ever since source ports became more of a thing, Boom has always sort of been the universal option, the Switzerland of the situation, where things made for Boom will work on most ports. So it's nice to be able to give Boom something more that doesn't interfere with that side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Altaz, you've been working for, like, a source port, and it has a map info thing. How does this sort of look to you?
Okay, so UMap info, by Graf's own admission, it uses any-like syntax. So you have your map name, and you declare it by having your map name in square brackets, and then the syntax is key equals value, next line, a different key equals a different value. And it's quite a simple syntax. It's easy to understand. It's easy to read. All of the names for the various properties are well-named. And overall, it looks like a very well-thought-out, and hopefully the code will be good for it, because I can see this gaining some level of traction. If Graf manages to implement it successfully in PR Boom, then he'll probably put it in Zedum and GZ Doom, and, well, Zedum's dead, but so just GZ Doom. And I'd probably try and get, if I can't do it myself, somebody on the Eternity team to get support in, because it provides a lot more flexibility to the mapper. And having cross-port flexibility is always nice. It's part of the reason why Boom is so successful. Almost everything works with it. And it's why you'll see fewer things have, say, MBF compatibility, because not as many things support the dog sprites, which you'll de-hacked out, or the like.
You mentioned if he releases it. He put out a test build the other day.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
So the real big question at this point is if the mainline PR Boom project will adopt it. And well, that's, at the moment, they haven't said anything. It's still a big question mark.
That's a big if. Entryway tends to keep rather quiet on this sort of thing, and he's kind of the big cheese when it comes to PR Boom Plus.
Yeah, Entryway hasn't said anything yet. So people seem interested in it. People seem excited about it. But there's still a lot of question marks about whether or not it will become a thing, and I think it'll be interesting to see how that turns out.
Definitely. I mean, earlier this year, we were, Graf and I and a couple members of Team Eternity were also talking over the possibility of joint UDMF namespace, and that kind of has come to a halt of sorts because life happened, and I haven't been able to be as active as I'd have liked to have been, but hopefully that'll pick up soon because, you know, Crossport UDMF, holy shit. We finally, like, we can have maps that have the flexibility of UDMF that run in more than just one port, mm-hmm. which yeah. hopefully will be appealing to some users.
Yeah, having stuff running on multiple engines is something that should happen more often, but all of that stuff happens in Boom.
Here's the thing that really concerns me. Everyone, in a nutshell, what's your opinion on GraphZol?
remember that thing I was saying about you can't, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say nothing at all, he's an asshole.
He's certainly not a people person, but I've grown more sympathetic to him over the last year.
Graf is known for personality problems. Let's be charitable and say that. But his dedication to work is really exemplary.
Oh, definitely.
He's got nothing but bad blood in the vanilla and the Boom communities. Every time he's over on Doom World posting stuff, there's...
It's a fight.
Oh, he's got... He is a tank. He's roaming, running over everything, and accidentally firing shells. But even with all of this bad blood, he's still trying to take a stab at something that could really bring a lot of bridges together. And it's like, I can't help but admire that, really.
Yeah, his work ethic is ridiculous.
Oh yeah,
he just manages to code for day after day after day, and somehow doesn't manage to flame out.
And this is somehow on top of a day job that involves programming, and it's like, what the fuck, dude?
The guy's a fucking beast. Like, you know, I can't even argue that. You know, damn.
And I won't disagree with the fact that he can be quite curt at times, but it is, I appreciate the fact that he doesn't like dance around his words. He will speak his mind, and he will speak it clearly and concisely.
Definitely. That's true, too.
Show me a programmer that isn't a cranky sourpuss.
Good point.
Not all programmers.
Alright, with that out of the way, let's jump straight into the little relaxing, winding down parts. Stuff we've been working on recently. So, Kingan, you've got a mod that's been in the works for a while, haven't you?
I am working on Space Hunter, which... Did I mention that last time I was here? That I was making an NES Metroid-y thing?
Yep, but you were just starting out at the time, so...
Yeah, it's almost done, question mark. I just got to finish up some death animations. A resurrect animation. Get some animations done for the screw attack. And it'll be ready to go.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How's it been? Interesting, devving along, because you've had a... quite a few troubles along the way, mostly in terms of staying stylistically consistent.
That has been a royal bitch, because originally I had the projectiles have thick outlines for the sake of just how simple the sprites, some of the projectile sprites are. Like, they're seriously comprised of, like, two colors. But ultimately, after much feedback and my own consideration, I removed the outlines, and they look fine. Keeping an outline of a few things. But, you know, other than that, I'm really pleased with the death animations. Like, I feel like those are actually, like, really authentic to how enemies blew up in the original Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
Good shit.
Just going, pachoo.
Just that little...
Kind of reminds me of the old Contra Doom on VR posted long, long, long ago. How the enemies would just fly up in the air and go, pachoo.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they didn't explode into a million pieces like they did in the original Metroid.
Yeah. And that's really, really satisfying to watch on the webhams.
And, I mean, of course, you know, that was back in the days of, like, you know, the 80s and 90s, where when anything died, it always explode. And I love that. It's good shit.
Explosions make the world go around.
I thought they made them go up in flames.
Well, it depends on where on Earth you are. Are you in the northern hemisphere or the southern hemisphere?
Oh, fuck off.
And then moving on from there, from one nerd to another, how about you, Altazmuth? What have you been working on lately? I hear you've been working on making a whole engine.
So, I am one of the developers for the Eternity engine. It's an advanced source port, kind of in a similar vein to ZDoom. It adds buckets and buckets and buckets of features upon features upon features. It has a few firsts, like portals and 3D mid textures, which have gained traction elsewhere. So what I've been working on within the engine, recently at least, is I've been working on the engine's equivalent of Decorate from ZDoom, which, so it's used to define things and heretic items and weapons.
Oh, well, I know about that. That's the thing that Shivers chants all the time. EDF, EDF.
So EDF stands for Eternity Definition File. And what I've been working on is the ability to define brand new weapons. And oh boy, is that a lot of trouble and faffing. So, if you didn't know, the Doom engine is hard-coded a lot.
Oh, really?
And to remove hard-coding, you require just, like, the biggest code crowbar imaginable. And going from the, you have 9 weapons, fist through super shotgun, here's all of these hard-coded arrays, to loading in these resources and keeping track of them. It's a huge effort. And one of the hardest things to bear in mind is that the Eternity engine is vanilla compatible.
Wait, what?
You can play back vanilla demos in Eternity.
What?
You can play back vanilla demos in Eternity, and they'll work cool. Fine. And not only that, you can play back Boom demos and MBF demos, and they'll work fine. Because Eternity is derived from Smack My Marine Up, which is...
Wait, what?
Gee, I wonder how long ago that port was made.
Yeah, Smack My Marine Up was Fraggle's port before he went on to Chocolate Doom. It's also a feature port. It had a few things like for console and such, and Chase Cam. And that's derived from Monster's Best Friend. So we kind of have demo support, and we can play back vanilla through Boom MBF demos, and we can record vanilla demos. And it's getting it to work with all of the demo compat stuff is horrible, because you have to try and, like, minimize spaghetti code, which is an inevitability when you're going if demo version less than and between these ranges.
Just a whole bunch of if else, if else, if else.
Pretty much. And you just have to try and minimize that. So that's proving difficult, challenging, but fun. It's fun working on the Eternity engine. It's all a bit of a lull in development, but it's really picked up. Especially Prince,
who is one of the co-developers, he effectively finished off the portals, and he's also added UDMF support, which is huge for us. Makes engine far more approachable.
Mm.
And overall, the engine's just over time becoming a lot more approachable. One of the few mods that's being developed for it is finally actually able to continue development for the mod in question being Mordeth Episode 2, which is kind of this...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been in nebulous existence for the past 20 years, and people 20 plus years, more like 25 at this point.
Yeah, well, Mordeth Episode 1 came out a bit over 20 years ago now.
Man!
Like...
Just instant silent. How can you even talk about Mordeth 2 except in anything but, oh yeah, that thing?
I mean, this isn't a secret, so... Well, it's slightly secretive, but he is working on it.
Surprise! Mordeth 2 isn't dead.
He crops up in the IRC occasionally, usually with bugs, and we fix them as soon as. And it's seeing active development. He's posted a couple screenshots here and there. And yeah, he's even shared a work in progress to Team Eternity members. This isn't secret. I'm allowed to say this. And it's really quite exciting what he's managed to do. Look out for Mordeth 2, guys. It's coming soon, I swear.
Soon in a relative sense.
In a relative sense.
But, like, this leads to an interesting question. When a mod is in development for a long time, let's say a year, 2 years, a sense of hype builds up, and the longer it's in development, this also goes for commercial games, I guess, as hype builds up, it becomes harder to meet that hype?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
how does Mordeth Episode 2, like... I'm sure that it will be good when it comes out. It'll be an enjoyable mod. But how does it deal with 20 plus years of equal parts hype and being a running joke?
I'd say that probably the hype levels are a bit downplayed just to because of how long it's been. If it comes out, people will probably be surprised by it.
Hmm.
It's pretty much impossible to live up to 20 years of hype, but it will probably be a solid product if a work in progress map I saw was any indication of the rest of the WOD's quality.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure it'll be a good product. Mordeth does good stuff, but I'm just sort of interested to see how people will react to it.
It's going to be a hard one for the... It's going to be a hard one for the community, and it's, oh god, the CAC Award team. What are you guys going to do to the Mordeth Award?
It's still going to be the Mordeth Award. It's just finally going to be given to its rightful owner.
Yeah.
All of the other awardees have just been temporarily holding the throne, keeping it warm for the one true king to rise up and take it again.
They'll just have to rename the award when another mod takes 20 plus years to come out.
I'm just expecting, like, the CAC Award for the Mordeth Award, the image to, like, be the Mordeth, Gold Mordeth, holding the trophy, just, like, recursively.
Honestly, at that point, we'll just probably call it the Eternity Award.
Eternity is the engine of, unfinished projects.
The official Vaporware engine.
Yeah, Vaporware is one of those WODs that kind of never saw the light of day, really, outside of the demo. There's Doom Millennium, too. There's the Eternity Total Conversion, never saw the light of day.
Actually, and let's make that the official selling point, like how you play Chocolate Doom if you want vanilla quality, you might play Boom if you want a lot of map sets, you play Z-Doom if you want modding power, and you play Eternity if you don't want any mods.
We have, like, a few. There's not very many out there, though. But we're hoping to, when Mordeth 2 comes out, that'll bring some
That's going to bring attention.
Yeah.
That'll put butts in seats.
Attention.
Hopefully it doesn't take another 20 years to get there.
Well, it's going to be fun dealing with the influx of users.
Now, when you say fun, is it like, oh, fun, or is it, oh, fun?
A bit of both.
Oh, God, I have to do work now.
It is going to be, it's probably going to be a lot more eyes on the engine is going to be quite difficult to deal with. Well, not difficult to deal with, but it's going to be intimidating. We don't have a very large user base.
How about you, Kinsey? Hopefully your situation has been less complicated.
Well, I've had a bunch of crap going on with some personal scheduling stuff. I'm sort of getting over that at the moment, and I've been doing some more work on the next version of MetaDoom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, from the looks of things, it's going to be spider-themed.
Spooter.
Spider-themed, you say? So we're finally getting the Japanese Spider-Man cameo.
Spider-Man.
You picked up the Marvelous!
Picked up an MP40. Wait, what?
I would love to have, like, some kind of giant robot showdown in the Doom engine.
Just full-on Sentai Doom.
And there's that one Doom guy that's awkwardly clinging to the ceiling, just kind of turning left and right, watching everybody. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
He's handling the steering wheel.
I'm just kind of picturing, like, that Virtual Boy game, like, Teleroboxer.
Oh, yes!
I mean, that game was actually pretty good, so...
Yeah.
Just on a really bad console.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, one of the things that I've been working on with these new monsters is the Trite from Doom 3.
Mm-hmm.
And its sort of gimmick is that it can jump up onto the ceiling and wander around on that.
Mm.
And for that, I looked into the Z script for the little spider robots from Strife.
Yeah, that's their main thing.
Which, up until Z-Script, were hard-coded as fuck. But now all of that stuff's exposed and I was able to fiddle around with that. I was able to get something pretty acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Aset scale alone and its ability to flip the sprites around, that makes things incredibly easy, I'd imagine.
Flip sprites actually cause some problems. I actually rolled the sprites instead, and that worked a lot better.
Really?
Do they actively roll when they go from ceiling to floor?
Not yet. They just sort of snap 180 degrees.
Is it possible to get that rotation effect?
Yeah, I just need to work on it. Probably involves maths. Fuck maths.
Okay, fuck math.
For one of their death states, you should have it so that they flop on their back and curl their legs up.
Can't wait, they just splat satisfyingly, and I'll probably just keep that.
Fucking, sprites are creepy enough as is, because like that's their sole purpose, is they cling to the ceiling, then they scare the hell out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, Keegan. I actually added a C-var just for you to turn them off. Spooky spoders mode.
So, can we have a mode where it's only spiders?
You tempt me, monsieur.
Why the fuck would you do that?
So that whenever there's a rare chance someone has the spooky spiders mode off, it activates that instead.
That's fucked up!
If player name equals Keegan, then...
That's fucked up.
That's amazing. What are the plans next, you think, afterwards?
I want to do Archvile variants next.
I've
been putting that off because I've been too lazy to do the sprites, honestly.
Well, with the advent of Brutal Doom 64, can we expect the Doom 64 Archvile?
Yeah.
So not that high on the priority list, then.
Nah.
Right. It's funny that you've been fiddling around with ZScript, though, because I've been taking my own attempt at ZScript as well. And
really? How many windows have you broken?
I've broken Firefox because I had 210 tabs open in one window.
Dumbass.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
And all of those... We're looking for simple fucking documentation.
Documentation's hard.
Yeah. Wrestling with the lack of documentation has been incredibly fun. There's nothing to look up once error messages have been reported. And very few of the changed expressions from Decorate to ZScript have been addressed either, which has very often resulted in me staying up several hours later at night staring at the computer screen, replacing phrases with random programmer E's in the hopes that it eventually gets accepted.
In short, you're a fucking madman.
Yeah.
Well, that's not news.
I have two favorite error messages.
Let's hear them.
Okay. Unexpected left bracket, expecting equals, or asterisk equals, or slash equals, or percent equals, or plus equals, or minus equals, or left equals, or right equals, or and equals, or line equals, or caret equals, or right equals, or question equals, or exclamation point equals, or tilde equals equals, or left right equals, or is equals, or dot equals, or identifier, or string constant, or super, or size of, or line of, or integer constant, or unsigned constant, or float constant, or name constant, or false, or true, or null.
It's nice to be specific.
couldn't they have just said expected assignment?
Oh, they have another error message for that. Self pointer used in ambiguous context. VM execution may abort. Does anyone know what that actually means?
You fucked it.
You fucked up.
Self-pointer used in ambiguous context.
It's like the words are there and they mean things, but they're strung together in a sequence where they have no purpose being with each other.
Programmers, we have a hard time coming up with expressive error messages a lot of the time.
Graph suggests learning an actual programming language first before tackling ZScript, which is,
ain't happening.
I'm looking forward to when we finally have to document our equivalent of ZScript whenever that happens.
You got ESCript on the brain, right?
It's called Eon. It is going to be based off an already existing language called AngelScript. Ooh. It's used in a few games. Kind of got this C++ looking language.
Mm-hmm. I know a couple friends that really love the hell out of AngelScript, and every time they try to talk to me about it, my eyes kind of glaze over.
Yes, well, we'll have to help users understand that.
Okay, in layman's terms, what is one of the advantages AngelScript can offer over other programming languages?
AngelScript over other...
Like, why would you be going with AngelScript instead of something tried and true and proven like Java?
Well, first of all, Java ain't a script and language. That's not something you want to do your scripting in. Well, let's use Lua as a comparison. Lua's quite slow, and it is reasonably well established, but it doesn't quite provide the... So, AngelScript has these things called object handles, and basically, you can... It's how you manipulate stuff. Like, it provides your high-level interface to whatever you're working with. So, that's how you're... If you were making stuff with Eon, it would be how you'd be able to define your pointers, your line actions and such. I mean, you know, Eon's going to try and do everything eventually. It'll define your code pointers for monsters. It'll define your line specials. Maybe at some point it'll be able to do scripting for you, like in the ACS style. It'll press your clothes and walk with you for long romantic walks on the beach.
Will it hold my hand and call me baby? And darling.
Whoa, easy now. This is a fucking Well, I can't say this is a family podcast, goddammit, because of that reason right now. But, you know,
maybe like
Keegan.
Maybe on like the third date.
Keegan. Don't go too lewd.
Keegan, of course it's a family podcast. I'd love to make a family with this podcast.
That's fucked up. You stop that.
What?
It's one thing I will admit, it's really nice to have someone here that is actually a programmer that's actually willing to let me talk about ZScript at length like this, because the people that actually know ZScript, every single programmer, has been extremely sensitive in regards to all of my negative talk about ZScript, and I'm sure Kinsey has had some interesting discussions with other folks as well.
Talk your shit!
Some people, for some reason, they're just really uppity about criticism about ZScript. There's been lots of people I've been talking about the lack of documentation, and they just throw the very base and bare page of converting Decorate to ZScript at me, which doesn't cover anything of what I need at all. And I think my favorite response so far has been, let's see if I can remember the exact wording. You're not really allowed to complain about ZScript if you don't know about it.
That's a dumb mentality.
I appreciate ZScript. I think it's very admirable what it's trying to do. I feel like, I don't know, how much drafting they did of the final version.
I feel like it wasn't so much drafting as it was trying to coax some sort of use out of the VM that Randy had spent too long on.
Okay.
And I think that was probably also inspired by some of the scars Graf had gotten from his day job dealing with other people's code bases and such.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a huge technical achievement. It's like, oh my goodness, it is really cool from a programmer perspective that you're able to do just all of these things and you can define them yourself and it will do everything. It's really impressive.
You can even overwrite the basic common functions that Decorate users take completely for granted. Like, even just something as simple as a monster looking around or a projectile hitting something. Like, when projectiles, like most actors, they have predefined states. They have spawn when it's active and death when it hits something. What you can do with ZScript is you can completely redefine the behavior of when it hits something. When a missile hits an actor, you can instead have it do another set of actions entirely rather than jumping to a death state, and that offers a lot of power, especially if you give it the ability to record the actor that it hit and store it as a variable. And then you can manipulate that variable in a variety of different ways. That's incredibly powerful. But that power comes at a cost of
sanity.
Well, this is the thing. When Eternity finally gets its ZScript equivalent, I'm probably going to go at great pains to make a long big series of tutorials on how to do everything from the basics to extremely complex tasks. Because users need that with a language that is not quite so easy to use.
Especially when it's non-standard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that is wonderful, it's that Decorate is not going away. It really is not going away. And that's good because some people, change is scary.
I like Decorate. Decorate is very powerful. It's also very powerful. Its way of defining states is absolutely amazing, like a masterstroke. It's expressive, but at the same time, it's readable.
I know Keegan, he's had some thoughts on the way Graphzol has been just kind of pushing this engine update out. You want to give the short version of your thoughts on it?
Change scares me.
Okay, you used a couple more words than that.
I can't remember what I said.
It was probably something along the lines of, change fucking scares me.
Yeah.
A little bit more vulgar, a little bit more intense, but...
Well, that and, you know, ZScript as it is right now with its lack of documentation, it's powerful, yes, very, very powerful, because I've seen some of the shit that people can do with it. That's great. But my big concern is, you know...
How stable is it?
That too, but my biggest concern, I fear Decorate, you know, I sincerely hope that it stays around, because that's one of Decorate's strongest points is it is so easy to get into. It is, you know, anybody can dive into it, and that in turn keeps the modding community alive. If we start, you know, making things kind of not so approachable, we're going to get less mod content.
Decorate's staying around. It uses the same virtual machine as ZScript now.
Thank goodness for that.
Mm-hmm. As much as people can disagree with Graf's decisions in that, he's not actually that big on breaking the last decade of mods.
Which is really weird because of the way a lot of updates have broken a lot of older mods, because for quite some time, Action Doom 2 and Mass Mouth 1 and 2, they were simply not playable because updates completely broke them. And at that time, there's just this general fear. Is our history going to stay around 5 years from now?
I hope so.
It's a weird situation, and it's made weirder by how a lot of people seem to be scared of reporting bugs for some reason. Hopefully things sort of change in that regard, and people are more forthcoming with reporting when things break and backwards compatibility gets compromised by changes, because being able to just play like 10 years of mods through one executable is just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But not having to fuck around with like old versions and that, just, it's a lot more convenient.
Oh yeah. Ease of use and ease of approachability are two aspects that are incredibly underrated in a community. And from then on, let's move on to the other wind-down section of our lovely little session. Stuff we've been going through recently. Who wants to take first straw?
I'll go.
Oh, I hear you've got a nice little tale.
Well, I've been mostly playing some non-Doom stuff recently. Bayonetta came out on PC, if you're one of the six people who hasn't heard about that yet. But,
Bayonetta came to PC? What? No, I'm fucking with you.
So, I played a few things over the past while. First was, I'm not sure if this has been released yet, but Mambo's Map.
Oh, yeah.
Which is... It is just a massive sprawl of interesting scripting features, lots of sectors, all sorts of stuff that, it turns out, completely breaks software mode.
Yep.
But just playing the GL version, it is just... He gets shit done. And it is really cool.
Mambo is crazy.
Yeah, he does some really cool stuff. A lot of the Japanese side of the community does some really cool stuff, if JPCP was not an indication to you.
The thing about JPCP that startled me, and this map by extension, is that for a lot of the Japanese members of the community, this was their first time seriously mapping. And likewise with Mambo's Map, this is his very first time doing ZDoom mapping. And it's just...
Dude's just come off the leash.
And then I look at my own maps and the stuff I'm doing, I'm like, if I move to Japan, will I get their magic powers?
Is this the start of Term's new life?
Hi, Terminus S13 desk. Yoroshiku onegaishimasu.
Webke. Also briefly tested a mod being made by Sync. I'm not sure if he's announced it yet or if he really wants me to talk about it yet. So all I'll say for now is that it has probably the coolest pain elemental replacement I've seen in quite a while.
Mm.
Next up on the list was Doom Major Crisis by OSJ Clutchford, which came out, I think, yesterday.
Really?
And it is a gameplay mod, very sort of focusing on basically implementing stuff from more modern Doom games and from Quake 2 into the Doom style.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of hit or miss.
Really?
Like, let me give you an example of one of the design decisions. The shotgun has two modes that you can switch between with the alt fire.
Mm-hmm.
Pump and auto. Now, if you hold down the fire button with auto, then, like, your view gets thrown around because of the recoil in that. But if you just tap with auto, you can fire the shotgun faster without any pumping animation, and there's no real downside. It's all these little things that are cool on paper, but they don't quite work out in practice. Hmm. And that's kind of a shame, because there's clearly a lot of work put into it. And to polish things off, I also gave a mod called Aetherius a shot. That is my review of Aetherius. But yeah, so a little bit of backstory on Aetherius before I go on. It was made by someone who had previously made a mod for Duke Nukem 3D called Nefaria's Reign, which had something like 8 playable characters, one of which was the size of a building, and one of which was Bubsy the Cunting Bobcat.
Oh god, that mod.
And another 2 which were Japanese anime girl OCs.
Yeah, so this mod comes from a strong pedigree. And how can I put this? Like, there are 3 playable characters. 2 of them are basically just Doom Marines with the same old weapons, maybe an alt fire or two. Mm-hmm. But they also have the ability to, like, cast the occasional magic spell. There's a magic system.
Mm-hmm.
And an inventory system. And there's, like, RPG stuff, like charging yourself up for a damage boost in that.
Wow, that's strange. It sounds like it's not really designed for playing with the Doom characters. Who's the 3rd character?
The 3rd character is an anime girl, and it seems like the basic concept behind it was, like, what if this one character from Breath of Fire met Sauron from Lord of the Rings?
Okay, so there is this character from the Dragon Quest series.
Dragon Quest, that's what it was.
All right. The mod has been 90% about her expeditions into Doom fighting off Sauron from Lords of the Rings.
It's one of those mods. And, like, she only has, like, 2 weapons that she can get. She's all the way into the magic stuff. And that stuff is... it's a bit clumsily implemented. I'm just going to put it that way.
So how does it manage to do all of this without making use of the strange amounts of keybinds?
It doesn't. Like, I'm pretty sure half the screen is covered with information on keybinds and stuff.
Oh, the HUD is definitely a treat, isn't it?
It is just... it's one of those mods where there's clearly a lot of effort put into it, and a lot of enthusiasm, and a lot of time, and I can appreciate that, because the guy making it pretty clearly had a lot of fun making it, but the end results just aren't that enjoyable to play. It is a mess. A colourful, extravagant mess. And in a way, that's something that we could probably use more of, in a way, because there's an enthusiasm behind it. There's an energy. It's something different. It's something strange. It's not another fucking Brutal Doom fork. It's something that is completely out of left field, sorry. And it's just... I don't like it, but I'm glad it's there. In a way, it sort of reminds me of a couple of other mods that I think you're familiar with, Term. Stop me if you've heard of these before.
Oh, go on.
Toho Doom and Swamp Ox.
Oh, my.
In that it's not just completely going all out despite a clear lack of ability.
Mm-hmm. It's like one of those mods where, yeah, you just can't help but respect it. Even if it doesn't play terribly well, it's a mod where... you did this. congratulations. Maybe one day you'll make it good. But in the meantime, congratulations.
Congratulations. This is what you did after putting Duke Nukem and Bubsy the Bobcat in the same game.
What could possibly go wrong?
And then Sailor Moon.
Blow it out your ass.
How about you, Keegan? What have you been playing?
I went back and finished up TNT with Final Doomer.
Oh, I remember that. You started 3 podcasts ago.
Yeah, I know. I stopped playing for a while because after Plutonia, I was just like, And halfway through TNT, I was like,
For entirely different reasons.
Yeah, that map set goes places. Like, oh, yeah. Like really, it goes places. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how about that fucking torch maze towards the end of TNT? Like, what the fuck is that shit?
Oh, yeah, I love that.
I don't. So
it's actually really easy to cheat that because you can open up the auto map and see the teleport lines.
You can? I didn't notice that. Then again, I use the a black and white setup for my map. So
yeah, that'd do it.
But other than that, I was playing some East 5, which that wasn't very good. I can see why it's considered the weakest East game. But anyways, other than that, played a little bit of Serious Sam again because that Serious Sam's Classics Revolution came out and it was like $2.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I'm good enough for this. Like, you know, let's fucking do it on hard. No, I can't do it on hard. I'm too bad. I'm not serious enough.
Yeah, Serious Sam is a completely different beast compared to the other retro FPSs. A lot of people like to describe it as a sort of throwback to older games like Doom and Duke Nukem, but it really plays absolutely nothing like them.
No, it's more akin to like Robotron or Smash TV, except you get kicked in the teeth a lot, and they're skeletons.
So exactly like Smash TV, then.
There are no skeletons in Smash TV.
There fucking should have been.
There should have been.
There should be skeletons in every game.
Including Gone Home.
Actually, yeah, that'd make the game a hell of a lot better. You just walk around, it's like, listen to this boring dialogue. Oh, look, a skeleton in the closet! Ah! Okay, let's get back to this.
There's just one skeleton just outside the house, peering in through the window, and it watches you the entire time. Hey.
Sort of like Thief or something, but you don't have any weapons or that, so you just got to keep hiding away from the skeleton that's wandering around the house.
And you can hear it rattling. And then, yeah. Like, and when it spots you, rather than, like, doing tense music, it's actually, like, xylophone music.
I okay, see you, fuckboy!
We're writing this shit down. We're going to make a game out of this.
Yeah, a skeleton runaway mod. That would be incredible. Actually, shit, that would make an incredible Doom mod on its own.
But other than that, I've been working on Space Hunter and shit, and I've been waiting on the next Final Doomer update. Come on, y'all! Get your shit together! And Shivers, you fuckers! I want to play it. It's really good.
Yeah, didn't you know they put that on hold so they could finish up laundry?
I'm gonna go kick their asses. I really want... Like, I know a lot of people haven't seen many things that they're working on Final Doomer, but I've seen some of that shit, and I'm really excited to play it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. So yeah, what are you even playing, Term?
The Fool, apparently.
For part of my ZScript mod, what I've been going through is... Well, originally the ZScript mod, it was intended as just a way for me to experiment around with ZScript, obviously. I would make random weapons and I would give them all a sort of various gimmick all done in ZScript. But then they all started coming together and I noticed, these weapons are kind of thematically similar. They're all sort of low-tech, iffy, pick-upable weapons that anyone could get their hands on. And so from there I brought this idea up to Keegan, sort of making a cowboy slash demon hunter mod that goes through natural ruins and castles and things like that. And from then on, I've been playing some really, really older ruins slash classic style map set. There's Castle Nevermore, and Castle Nevermore is really, really cool. It was done by Bjorn.
I think it's Bjorn.
Bjorn.
Bjork, Bjork, Bjork.
It's from Bjorn Oistman. And
Yeah.
It was made by the same guy who did The Rebirth, a total conversion for Doom 2 with 52 maps, doing a sort of retelling of the Doom 2 story. And like that map set, it's got a lot of really dark, gothic areas. It takes the hell aspect and it really plays it up. It's a wicked roam back and forth. Lots of really clever monster traps. Very fun to go through. But I've also been playing another old classic. Everyone in the Doom community has heard of this mod, even if just in passing. A Fistful of Doom. It is one of those classic total conversions. It's got graphics, it's got levels, it's got sounds, it's got style. It is incredible. It's two levels. Nobody has done anything like it again.
Which is a real pity when you consider that, like, there's a whole bunch of assets that you could use, some like Outlaws or whatever, to bolster creation.
Mm-hmm. And it was made in just 1997. And yet the amount of content that's in it is, it outdoes a lot of total conversions nowadays.
Hmm.
And I think one thing that's really, really interesting about that is the way the map progresses. Like map one, for example, you've got just a stereotypical Western town setup. And y'all know how Western towns are set up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got this big, solid, straight road. You got houses on either side facing each other. The house is probably ready to go into a Western showdown, so they're called. But at the end, you got this bank, and the bank is locked. It's got two locked doors, actually. It's one deeper in that's guarding the exit. But so how do you get inside the bank? You have to go through every house one by one, go clear out the enemies, pick up the items, find keys. And it's sort of this unique combination of open-ended and linear. Because right out of the get-go, you've got a clear objective that you need to do. You just have to pick your own way in order to go about it. Which one of the houses is it in? You don't know. You gotta clear through and go it out one by one. Well, wasn't in this house. Maybe it'll be in the next house. And most of the time, even if the key isn't in that house, there's some stuff that is. Like, the jail has the super shotgun.
Yeah, lots of clever tricks in that one.
Mm-hmm. But it's been really, really interesting just playing these old classics, because I think a lot of this new tech, especially with the advent of ZScript, people are trying constantly to outdo each other, to make more stuff, to make flashier stuff. And sometimes you just gotta look at the classics, keep things simple. And how about you, Altazimuth? What have you been playing lately?
Well, I'm one of those weirdos who, like, programs more than he actually plays the game he programs on.
We deal with that stuff a lot. Like, we actually have... We run this feature specifically so we play things that we aren't working on.
True.
Yeah.
I've been... But yeah, I've been playing through lots of, like, miscellaneous old WoDs.
One of the things that's really, really easy to run into is the trap of a content creator where you only play your own stuff. And that is a very, very unhealthy habit, because you can't just constantly lock yourself into a noise box and not enter anything else. You have to see how other people approach the same design questions as well. How did they handle this? Because you don't have all the answers to everything. And that's something a lot of people forget. Even if they say, well, yeah, obviously I don't have the answers to everything. Subconsciously, there's still that I'll only play what I did approach. And it's really, really necessary to sometimes just take a step back and see how other folks do things.
I wish I had something clever to say in response to that, but...
Altazimuth, I didn't mean to demoralize you. Come on,
No. So, like,
Oh, one of the weirder things I played was something called Astro Stein.
Ah! Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's not very good. You'd think that Nazis in space would be a bit better, but it kind of plays like Blake Stone, but not.
Yeah, Last Row, just as Wolf and Doom trilogies and offshoots, those are all really interesting. I know Shivers is a huge fan of them, but I haven't actually personally played any.
Like, the visuals are cool, but the level design tends to suffer.
Yeah, it's a lot of straight corridors, extreme, just like 90 degree angles everywhere. It's very some cut and paste. I appreciate what it tries for, but it just doesn't have the gameplay to back it up, I feel. I like the visuals and the ideas behind it, but it just didn't come together for me when it came to gameplay. Especially Astro Stein, the first one, has something called Portal.wad attached, which is kind of a prequel. Yeah, oh god, it plays... Oh, required sequence for progression, hit scanners in big open spaces.
It's really easy to see where Torm got his inspiration.
What else have I been playing through? Back to Sand Next Episode 1, very slowly but surely.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm really enjoying. And I've been also doing a bit of a Valiant.
Valiant, some good stuff.
Mm.
Skillsaw has really just earned his place among the mapping titans. And he's still putting stuff out. It's incredible.
He's a fucking machine.
It's really impressive.
As of his most recent CAC award, he has broken the limit. He is now the person in all of Doom history with the most CAC awards. Well, there is one other contender. But Skillsaw, last I checked, he has 7 CAC awards. The exact number, probably one or two more. 7. The only other person that can boast more has 24 CAC awards.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Various authors. Only various authors has outdone Skillsaw.
Well, at least he has a goal.
What about Mordeth? He gets that fucking award every year. Come on, guy. Yeah. I'm biased.
That's true. It is indeed a Mordeth award.
God.
You got any sights on what you're going to be playing next?
It's a good question. I tend to just dip into the id Games archive and play whatever. But there are I'm trying to go through notable releases recently. So maybe I never played the Zedum Community Map Project Take One, which I'll probably give a stab at some point. I really loved the second one. Jesus, that thing caused my PC to chug, but it was really good fun, so I'll probably give the first one a shot. It most likely won't make my PC cry in agony.
Oh.
Which one of the community map projects had Thunderpeak in it?
Z-Pack. Z-Pack was interesting. The idea was nice. And honestly, it's something that's still relevant nowadays. It was done out of a recognition that most of Doomworld and company, they tended to use a lot of Boom-style mapping. And yet there wasn't really any sort of dedicated single GZ-Doom megawatt that could be pointed to and said, this is what Z-Doom is capable of. And so Tormentor...
And we found out why.
Tormentor got up a whole bunch of folk, organized a community project, got a whole bunch of maps, and we all learned very quickly why there isn't a lot of GZ-Doom maps.
Why is that then?
One of the biggest things of Z-Doom mapping is how to make a Z-Doom map, because there is so much technology that Z-Doom brings to the table. It is very, very easy to start making a level focused entirely around gimmicks instead. Start putting slopes everywhere. Add all of those unskippable cutscenes with a print and a print bold. NPCs lying dormant, teleporting enemies, desaturated areas, etc., etc.
It's very easy to lose sight of actually making something that's fun to play.
Mm-hmm. Especially once custom enemies get involved. Because custom enemies...
You gotta worry about people, like, using the same monster numbers and... Make sure that none of the two same people like have their own version of a single monster. And
I'm thinking about this now, and I'm going to issue a probably controversial statement that I'm going to regret later. I cannot think of a single WoD off the top of my head that used custom Realm 667 monsters in a way where I thought they were better used than the original vanilla Doom Bestiary. I can't think of a single mod.
You know, that'd be an interesting topic of discussion with people who actually listen to this. Like, if you can think of a... You guys watching this on... Listening to this on YouTube or whatever. If you can think of a good custom map set that introduces custom monsters in a way that benefits the gameplay... in a way that couldn't be done by the vanilla Doom 2 monsters, then mention it in the comments. Tell us about it, and we'll give it a check and see what... and see if we agree. Let's make this a bit of a debate.
Well...
Join the conversation. Hashtag.
What about... Though this is not Decorate, it's using Dehackered over MBF frames, Valiant...
Yeah, Valiant and Ancient Aliens have some decently implemented custom monsters.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also Skillsaw, and Skillsaw is, yeah, as previously mentioned, a fucking beast.
Yeah, Skillsaw's kind of cheating. Likewise, another thing that comes to mind is Strange Aeons, but that too is kind of cheating because that's a total conversion. It's not really a Doom map set. It's its own thing. Even if it's got a Doom skin, it's got custom textures, custom weapons, custom music, custom levels, custom monsters. Even if nobody else agrees, it's a total conversion. It's a... Yes.
Man, we are just moving the fucking goalposts here.
Yeah. But yeah, I will be interested in seeing what, if anyone can bring stuff to the table, because, yeah, custom Realm 667 monsters, has there ever really been a hole in the Doom Monster Bestiary that they filled up?
I mean, there are certain holes you can patch up. But there aren't too many. Like, the base bestiary from Doom 2, at least, covers all kinds of ways of using them. Either aggressively or defensively, short range, long range, projectile hit scan, time management, and not time management, space management.
That and the thing with the Doom 2 monsters is that they're all immediately recognizable from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of readability there that I think a lot of custom monster makers tend to not keep in mind. They primarily use, like, the imp sprites as a base, or the baron sprites as a base, or
all of those baron recolors.
So the custom monsters just look like pre-existing monsters from a distance, creating sort of an unpleasant surprise. It's a very difficult challenge to deal with.
I mean, there are quite a few, like, monsters I do quite like the Cathasi and Ifrit, what else, the Arachnorb and such.
I like the Undead Priests, the dudes with the capes and the guns, those are cool.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying that all the bestiary on Realm 667 is shit, because it's not. There's a lot of cool stuff people made there, but a lot of it isn't used especially well. And I'd be interested in seeing map sets that actually do use them well, to augment the pre-existing vanilla gameplay.
Yeah. But that's something we're going to have to try out another time. Right now, we should probably call it.
Yeah, sun's going down. Sun's probably coming up for you, Tim. But...
Yeah, it's like 8 o'clock over here. But yeah, thank you all very much for coming along.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
It was fun.
Mm-hmm. And with that, thank you all very much for listening, and we will see you all next time on the next intermission.
Bye.
It's been real.
Thanks for watching. Next time on Game Theory.
Bye.